aside from being bored. No gleaming past the future form. It hasn't changed, it doesn't show monotony by another name. You read the answers on my face. Some things are better left to say. Run featuring Cecile Beliefs from TR/ST EP. There is a breaking news regarding SFU's Burnaby main campus. It is adding 445 new beds, a mix of studio and townhouse units. The project will be complete for the fall of 2027 at $187.6 million per Lisa Beer. I'd like to feature the Northwest League, where the Vancouver Canadiens play, at this time. Three games were on tap for July 6. The host, Eugene Emeralds, doubled up the Hillsboro Hops 4-2 at PK Park in Eugene, Oregon. The visitors, Tri-City Dust Devils, blinded the Spokane Indians 17-6 with runs in 8 out of 9 innings at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. And the Vancouver Canadiens edged the host Everett Aqua Sox 3-2, highlighted by Peyton Williams' solo home run off Shaden Peebyhouse on the top of 8th at Funko Field in Everett, Washington. There was one venue change for July 9th. The visitors Vancouver shellacked Eugene 6-0 at PK Park in Eugene, Oregon. Everett doubled up the host Spokane 6-3 with 3 runs in the top of 10th at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. And the visitors Tri-City grounded Hillsboro 9-4 at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro, Oregon. On July 10th, Vancouver shellacked Eugene 9-4, highlighted by 6 runs in the top of 2nd. Spokane walked off Everett 5-4, and Tri-City blinded Hillsboro 7-0. On July 11th, Eugene quintupled Vancouver 5-1, Spokane shaded Everett 6-5, and Tri-City survived Hillsboro 3-2. Three games are on tap tonight. Vancouver continues in Eugene at 6:35, Tri-City renews in Hillsboro at 7:05, and Everett resumes in Spokane Valley also at 7:05.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of the community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is in the second half. The Vancouver Canadiens are first at 14-4 as an affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays. The Spokane Indians are second at 13-5 as an affiliate of the Colorado Rockies, who have also won the first half. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, are 3rd at 9-9, much like the Everett Echo Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners. The Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, which play out of Anaheim, are 5th at 5-13. And the Hillsboro Hops, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, are last at 4-14 for second half.
Starting from the week of Monday, May 30th, the Student Union Building is open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The sub-building common spaces, along with the bookable spaces, are available for use. Any comments or questions, please go to the Simon Fraser Student Society website at sfss.ca for more information.
Welcome back. The fourth act is Talk Decretus, self-titled album with Vels Daigua.
Thank you.
I'd like to update on the Western Lacrosse Association at this time. It is an amateur league of men's senior A box lacrosse, with many playing in the professional National Lacrosse League every winter. On July 6th, the Victoria Shamrocks bested the host Coquitlam Adirondacks in a 12-8 barn burner at Coquitlam Sports Center. Two games were on tap for July 7th. The visitors Coquitlam doubled up the Maple Ridge Barrage 6-3 at Planet Ice, Camneely Arena in Maple Ridge, while the Langley Thunder frightened the host Nanaimo Timbermen 12-8 at Frank Crane Arena. On July 9th, the visitors Burnaby Lakers sunk Maple Ridge 15-7 at Planet Ice, Camneely Arena. On July 10th, the host Victoria destroyed Nanaimo 14-8 at the Q Center in Colwood. On July 11th, the visitors Langley frightened New West 15-11 at Queen's Park Arena. Tonight sees Burnaby visiting Victoria at the Q Center in Colwood. The ball drop is at 6:45 p.m.
We had food growing up and we were used to being able to eat, but then all of a sudden we needed that help. That's why the food bank is here. They're here to help you and... They're here to help you.
The food bank is for anyone who needs one. Visit the food bank near you to help and be helped.
Here are the current standings in the Western Lacrosse Association. 2 points are awarded for a win, with 1 point for a tie. The Victoria Shamrocks are first at 12-0, 24 points. The Langley Thunder are second at 6-6-1, 13 points. The Maple Ridge Barrage are third at 6-8, 12 points. The Coquitlam Adirondacks are fourth at 5-7-1, 11 points. The New West Salmon Bellies are 5th at 5-7, 10 points. The Burnaby Lakers are 6th at 4-6-1, 6 points. And the Nanaimo Timbermen and are last at 7 points. Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very polarizing issue for Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing city in British Columbia, for over the last 6 years. The then mayor, Doug McCallum, pursued a Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke did not give up her fight to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 13th, Surrey filed a petition to the BC Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. The BC government responded on October 16th as Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC Legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e. Bill C-36-2023, Police Amendment Act 2023, where a key change is, municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. On October 25th, the BC Police Amendment Act passed a third reading, with 56 voting for and 27 against. One day later, BC's Police Amendment Act became law, as after it received royal assent, as BC's Lieutenant Governor Janet Austin approved the law on October 26th. On November 16th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, appointed Mike Sir, the former Abbotsford Police Chief who retired last fall, as the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, suspended all 8 members of the Surrey Police Board, and removed Brenda Locke, the Surrey Mayor, as the SPP Chair. Surrey launched a second petition on November 20th, this time challenging if the BC Police Amendment Act 2023 is constitutional. On January 25th, 2024, Mike Sir, the Surrey Police Board's administrator, released the SPS 2024 budget in a press conference, which was submitted to Surrey City on November 30th, 2023. With the SPS having deployed 215 officers at the time, $141.5 million were requested, 42% of the policing funds available, at a total of $337 million for 180 officers, which would increase the total of SPS officers to 526, 67% of all Surrey police officers by the end of 2024, with Surrey's targeted number at 785. The SPS budget numbers were developed with Jessica McDonald, Strategic Implementation Advisor, and Deloitte, an independent accounting firm, assumed the Surrey RCMP will ramp down. On April 4th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, introduced further amendments to the BC Police Act to municipal police management, where local governments with municipal police forces can choose one representative each. Members of each local police board can elect chair and vice chair. Currently, the mayor of each municipality with its own police force is part of the local police board, except Surrey, as Farnworth removed Brenda Locke last November due to allegations of her obstructing the Surrey Police Service. Also, the police complaint commissioner can call public hearings during misconduct investigations, do systemic reviews, and lead investigations into police complaint causes, contributing factors, as part of Bill 17, 2024. On April 9th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, told reporters in the BC legislature that Surrey actually approached the BC government in January, revealed the additional offer to be $100 million over 5 years, to a total of $250 million over the next decade, and the deadline at 4 p.m. However, Surrey rejected the offer shortly after 3 p.m., less than an hour to the deadline, according to a BC government press release, where Farnworth also responded that $150 million will be used to complete the transition. On April 23rd, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, announced the Surrey Police Service will become Surrey's police jurisdiction on November 29, 2024. There will be no federal or provincial legislative changes required. RCMP and SPS officers will work under a collaborative agreement and will provide a notice to Surrey to end the Municipal Police Unit Agreement, i.e. Surrey RCMP. The SPS Chief Lauren Lipinski added that he will ramp up hiring. Dwayne McDonald, the RCMP Deputy Commissioner, acknowledged work between the federal public ministry and provincial government, and the RCMP will provide assistance until the transition completes, where BC RCMP officers will be working with the SPS. 2 days later, on April 25th, BC's Bill 17, 2024, the Police Amendment Act 2024, became law after receiving royal assent, according to the Legislative Assembly of British Columbia website. On April 29th, the BC NDP government and Surrey squared off in the BC Supreme Court in Vancouver on Surrey's legal challenge against the BC government directing the city to continue with the SPS, presided by the Justice Kevin Liu. On May 3rd, the five-day hearing between Surrey and the BC NDP government on the latter directing the city to continue with the SPS concluded. On May 6th, during a Surrey City Council meeting, the budget for the SPS and the Surrey RCMP was set at $221.5 million on a 7% tax increase from 1% on roads and 6% on general tax increase. The fourth and final approval for Surrey's 2024 budget, which included 26 bylaw approvals, was passed along the party lines, where the Mayor Brenda Locke and her Surrey Connect councillors voted for, with four other councillors against, according to Tom Sitarek's Surrey Now leader. On May 13th, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke gave another press release on the Surrey City website, also announced on Twitter, based on Section 27, Subsection 3.1 of the BC Police Act, added on April 25, 2024, where any municipality with a municipal board can object any part of its budget to the Municipal Police Board and the Director of Police Services by May 15th. Locke continued that Surrey will uphold its budget, passed on May 6th at $221.5 million, $37 million lower than the SPS and Surrey RCMP's proposed budgets, which will fund more than the joint strength, the SPS and Surrey RCMP, up 785 officers, at a property tax increase of 7%. On May 23rd, the BC Supreme Court Justice Kevin Liu rejected Surrey's petition against the BC government in directing the city to continue with the SPS, upheld amendments to the BC Police Act, which mandates Surrey to continue with the SPS, and Surrey can fund the SPS, as the Justice Kevin Liu estimated the SPS will cost $30 to $75 million more per year, between $50 to $120 per Surrey resident, thus rejecting all of Surrey's three arguments. On June 10th, in another Surrey City Council meeting, the Mayor Brenda Locke announced that she accepted the BC Supreme Court's decision, which ruled against Surrey's judicial reviews against the BC government in directing the city to continue with the SPS, according to multiple outlets. However, Locke still insists that the SPS isn't in the best interest for Surrey residents. We'll need to find out how much more the municipal police force will cost compared to the RCMP, including reviewing the Deloitte report, where the 734 SPS versus RCMP officers would be an annual difference of $30 million. With the SPS being higher. But Locke kept pointing out to the $75 million difference, which is between 734 RCMP and 900 SPS officers. However, the Deloitte report didn't account for the RCMP's recent 8% pay bump, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun. On June 11th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, welcomed Locke's acceptance of the SPS, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun. When the SPS provided another release on their website, where 9 additional experienced officers from municipal and RCMP forces were to be deployed that week, with 225 officers deployed onto Surrey streets in 8 different units, for a total of 367 sworn officers and 60 civilian employees, for a total of 427 employees, where its Twitter link on June 11th said 9 additional experienced officers were deployed that day. On June 17th, the SPS Twitter page updated its staffing numbers with a link on its official website, 373 sworn officers and 60 civilian employees, with the SPS transition page providing a further breakdown, 300 male with 73 female officers. On June 21st, the SPB provided the agenda for their latest meeting, which gave year-to-date spending until the end of May at just over $35.33 million, where 408 employees were paid, at a total of over $36.165 million, 366 sworn police officers, 41 regular permanent civilians, and 8 temporary civilians. The SPS requested budget is just over $141.5 million. The SPB had their latest meeting on June 26, where the SPS showed their year-to-date budget, with the SPB comparing it to their submitted budget to Surrey City last November, which was rejected and was waiting for a decision from the BC Director of Police Services via Twitter. On June 27th, the SPS tweeted $10,000 signing bonuses to 10 experienced constables for frontline policing. On July 2nd, the SPS rolled out 10 of its marked vehicles, with 20 more vehicles scheduled by the end of August. On July 10th, which was Wednesday this week, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, announced that the BC government reached a deal with Surrey City, which will receive $30 million a year up to 2029, when a financial guarantee of up to $20 million if the SPS salaries are higher than the RCMP may kick in and continue until 2034, via a BC government news release, where Surrey's Mayor Brenda Locke thanked the Surrey RCMP for 70 years, also on Surrey's news release of their agreement. In addition, according to the BC government news release, the SPB budget, originally requested at $141.5 million, fits within Surrey's financial budget and will hire 526 officers by the end of 2024, 67% of all Surrey police officers. Furthermore, Surrey has hired Tanya Enger, Clayton Peckholt for the Joint Integration Table, along with people from the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, Public Safety of Canada, RCMP, and SPS, which has 431 sworn officers and support staff. The BC government will reinstate the SPB by early 2025, discuss with Surrey on potential appointees, while Surrey will fully support the transition to the SPS and not impose a police tax in the next decade. Mike Farnworth followed the BC government release on the agreement with a press release in Vancouver. Later on July 10th, according to Cole Schisler of City News Vancouver and Abigail Turner of CTV Vancouver, FOI requests revealed that Surrey spent over $1.28 million in its BC Supreme Court challenge against the BC government, where the city paid its lawyer, Peter German, a former RCMP deputy commissioner over $80,000, according to Turner, while the Ministry of Public Safety claimed up to $100K of staff time were spent, according to Schisler.
Hey, SFU! Getting money back for all your empty or refundable bottles and cans just got a lot easier. Just sign up for Returned Express for free. You can bag your containers, tag the bag, and drop it through the window at the new Express and Go container in the East parking lot. Return It will count your containers and credit your refunds to your online account. Learn more at returnit.ca/SFU.
Thank you for listening to episode 26 of the Steve Chong Show. In 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North. I'm thinking of trying to play one more song before I get off air, but it's got to be very, very tight time at this time. Yeah, it looks like I wouldn't be able to play another song before 4 o'clock. Anyhow, coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North. After the next next PSA.
And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. Simon Fraser University, the 1960s. In the earliest days of SFU, a renegade unlicensed radio station begins broadcasting around campus. 1974. Volunteers established the Simon Fraser Campus Radio Society, which operates CJSF to this day. 1985. The station obtains a cable license, bringing CJSF to a wider audience. And we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since. And now for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002, CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.